You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Lastly, we speak about why struggling families need support, not blame. I spoke to Eileen Joy from the School of Counselling, Human Services and Social Work at the University of Auckland. I started off by asking her about how recent child development theories have influenced child protection in Aotearoa in ways that have further stigmatised struggling families. Here she is now.
Wow, that's a really big question. The recent child development theories that I was looking at mainly involve aspects of neuroscience, brain science. There were a couple of other fields, but they're slightly more obscure around genetics and development. They are being used by policy makers and by child protection workers because it's information about how children grow, how children develop. Now, other researchers have tackled the problems and the assumptions in those studies, and I haven't tackled those directly myself. However, what I'm looking at is how they're being used in the policy and in the practice. And I did find that they were being used in a really individualised manner, which means that parents were being blamed for things like poverty, colonisation, certainly the effects of colonisation. So yeah, it's pretty blaming and stigmatising.
Could you tell me a bit more about the stigma that surrounds child protection here in Aotearoa?
Child protection in any country is a really challenging area, and I just want to acknowledge the great work that, you know, my colleagues in social work do in this area. It's hard. There is no easy answer to this question. I think that, you know, we just have to look at how we're using information. Information can be used in many different ways. So to give you an example from my research, there are instances of brain scans being used, just pictures from academic articles that social workers are using and showing them to parents and saying, this is the damage that you are doing to your child's brain by neglecting your child. Now, neglect could mean many different things. It could mean, you know, not having enough food, not being able to put clothes on your child. And parents are being blamed for this sort of thing and being told that they're doing damage to their children's brains. That's not helpful. You know, as a parent, you know, you want to do the best for your children, and it's incredibly stressful being a parent when you cannot pay your bills, you cannot feed your children, and you cannot clothe your children. So then being told that you are damaging your children's brains when there's nothing else that you can do to change this situation because you're in an impoverished situation, which could be impounded, as I said, compounded by colonisation, etc., you know, that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help being told that you have to go to a parenting class when you might be working two or three jobs just to, you know, scrape what you can. So, you know, there are ways that we can use this information, but the way that it is currently being used in policy and practice is not helping anyone.
Diving deeper into this issue, through your research, has there been anything you feel like that needs to be addressed?
Yeah, well, I guess at the moment, Oranga Tamariki is very much looking at the thin end of the wedge, and they're not providing whole system approaches to working with families rather than just kind of fixing an immediate thing based on what they see as the child's need. Now, children don't sit in a vacuum. Children sit within families, within whānau, within hapū, within iwi. Okay, so we need to look at a whole systems approach. And that does not mean, as I've said, you know, sending parents to parenting education classes. Most of the time, that is not the issue. So we need a far more systemic approach to this, and we need to not look away from the big things that are actually impacting on child protection. These are not people who are, in, you know, most cases, who are actively abusing their children. These are people who need support. They might need things like drug and alcohol counselling. You know, they might need things like simply more income. Most of the time, you know, they know how to budget. They're budgeting down to the very last. They just need more money. And if we gave these people more money in the form of something like a universal basic income, or we up the basic benefit levels like the Welfare Expert Advisory Group recommended, then actually we would see some of these figures of child neglect decreasing, because we would be taking away the stressors that parents are unable to cope with. So I guess what I'm saying is that Oranga Tamariki needs to be fundamentally restructured. That's not, that's not an original thought that I have. I'm not the first person to say that. Certainly Tangata Whenua have been saying that for a very long time. And I think that the government needs to honour commitments too, to Tiriti, in reformulating what we can do with child protection in this country. And when we're talking about child protection, we're actually talking about family well-being. We're talking about family protection. This whole centering of something around a child really ignores the context that they are in. It ignores their siblings. It ignores everything else that's going on there. We're not talking about one person, and we need to get away from individualising it. Otherwise, we're never going to help. Ultimately, we're never actually going to help those children, which is really sad.
You've mentioned colonisation a couple of times and how it's impacted child protection services such as Oranga Tamariki. Within Oranga Tamariki, there's obviously systemic issues. How do we address those?
I do have to preface this by saying I'm Pākehā, so I can't design a system for Māori. I think a system needs to be Māori-led, it needs to be Māori-informed, and I think devolving child protection and aspects of child protection to Māori is the way to go. I fundamentally believe that, and I think that would be a way of honouring Te Tiriti. However, I recognise that that's a political hot potato that most political parties won't even want to go anywhere near. We can't even have sensible conversations about co-governance. So, in the meantime, I guess I would like to see more funding allocated to Oranga Tamariki and a real rethink about the direction that they're going in. And I want to be very clear that, yes, Oranga Tamariki, the system needs to change, but we also need to give more support to the social workers that are within the system. It's a really, really hard job, and there is no way that you can, this is a really unpalatable truth, but there is no way that we can ever get to a place where there is no child abuse ever. I don't think that's achievable. People are people and horrible things sometimes happen. But what I think we can do is we can look towards what are the drivers, what are the things that make that more, what are the things that stress parents out, that put them in situations where, anyone who's a parent will know that when you're under stress and you've got a child that's been nagging you, probably quite reasonably, it's really easy to lash out. And so I think that if we looked at things more holistically, which, in my Pākehā way of looking at Te Ao Māori, that's what Te Ao Māori says to do, look at things holistically, then actually honouring Te Tiriti would be good for all of us in every area of life, but also in child protection.
Any last thoughts or anything else that the listeners should know about this issue?
Just that parenting is really hard, and we need to come together as a community and stop pointing fingers at each other and stop trying to think that there are simple, seemingly common sense solutions to this. I mean, the only simple common sense solution is actually to give people more money, but that's one that people seem to want to just avoid.
That was Eileen Joy from the School of Counselling, Human Services and Social Work at the University of Auckland, speaking about how recent child development theories have influenced child protection in Aotearoa in ways that have further stigmatised struggling families.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.